This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Hey, my good friend Dan Carey, a cardiologist based out of Lynchburg, joins me on the long line from literally from his office down in Lynchburg. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing great today, Coy. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, you wrote a fantastic review of Sicko recently, the very best. Probably one of the best movie reviews that I've read, which is why I really wanted to get you on the program to talk about it, because I haven't seen the movie. I don't know if I will, but just a terrific movie review, and you have an incredibly unique perspective on this whole healthcare mess that we're in as a nation, as a cardiologist. So the best place to start, Dan, is just your background, you know, Dan Carey 101. How did you wake up one morning and find that, you know, your hands were in somebody's chest and fixing their heart?
Well, that's a good question. I think when you ask people why they went into medicine and why they wanted to be a doctor, you'll get two groups of answers. One, some folks just always knew that they wanted to be a doctor, and I think that's the group I'm in. I just always knew. I know I wanted to be in a position to do things that help people in a very primary way, and to have them, you know, like me and be grateful for it. And I think that kind of elementary school notion has very much been true to form. It has really been a very satisfying 21 years as a physician. And another group of people are those that, you know, are drawn to it because, you know, they're detectives or there's something intellectual about it that draws them in. And for me, I certainly like that intellectual aspect, but I think it's that, you know, you're working one-on-one with people and their families, and you're doing something that they can't do for themselves, and it helps them in a way that is very apparent. It's very visceral how you help folks. And that's, you know, I've always found that very satisfying, and I somehow knew from an early age that I wanted to do that.
Well, we have so much respect for people like you who are literally on the front lines in our communities, you know, changing lives, saving lives. You know, I'm thinking of doctors, you know, police officers, fire and rescue, school teachers, those people that are right out there, nurses, you know, just making a difference. They get up, go to work, and they make a huge difference in people's lives. And
well, thank you. I think there is a kinship between certainly those in the emergency responders, whether it's firemen or policemen, or I think the military also. I think folks
absolutely,
who are,
yeah,
you know, where the rubber meets the road, and it's not all excitement. But there's a lot of, you know, mundane things that we do, but it's certainly the area of cardiology that attracted me is very exciting. It can be very sad when you lose patients, but because there's life, they truly are life and death illnesses, but it's a lot of listening in the office and trying to prescribe medicines that work or lifestyle changes that can be effective. But I'm an interventional cardiologist, and that means we work in the cath lab. We don't do surgery. That would be a cardiothoracic or cardiovascular surgeon. We do things through holes in the, you know, we go through arteries or veins that get up to where the heart is or the blood vessels are, and manipulate them and with catheters and balloons and stents and lasers and that sort of thing. So there is, it's what attracted me to cardiology rather than surgery or other areas was that it's a nice combination of plain doctrine. You know, you listen, you see them in the office, you follow them over time and over years, and as well as kind of the high-tech excitement of opening someone's artery in the middle of the night, he's having a heart attack, and an hour later, they're feeling better. So it's for me, has been a good choice.
We're talking with my friend and cardiologist, not my cardiologist. We're talking with the cardiologist and my friend Dan Carey down in Lynchburg. You can read his review of Sicko, the new movie by Michael Moore, online at the-berg.com. Look for it there at the-berg.com. Dan, you went in to see Sicko. You went with your wife, who's a nurse. Tell us what you were expecting, and then tell us what you got.
Right, I'd actually been asked by our local paper to review it because I had written some editorials and some op-ed pieces about public policy and healthcare in the past, and they were looking for a physician's perspective. And you know, I actually have enjoyed Michael Moore's movies more, I think, from their, you know, shock value, and again, he has a way of telling, you know, stories in a very personal way through the lives of the people that he follows. But you don't, I think, go to a Michael Moore movie thinking about journalistic, values of fair, if not fair, and certainly not balanced presentation of the facts. But he knows how to entertain. If you've seen his previous movies, whether it's Fahrenheit 9/11 or Bowling for Columbine or Roger and Me, for example, you know, you kind of get a sense of some of his storytelling technique. And I was prepared to, you know, I was wondering who the villains would be. Is it the doctors and nurses? Is it insurance companies? And is it big hospitals? Or is it the big pharma, the drug companies? And it's a little bit of all of those. But at the same time, I guess I went into it expecting to discount his arguments because I guess they wouldn't ring true with my experience of the dedication of doctors and nurses and a variety of technologists trying to help patients in hospitals and in the office setting. So I was ready to kind of discount his story. But I really found that going through the movie that the experiences that he was outlining, that is people who had heart attacks or cancer, very common things, they had health insurance and yet they were found themselves bankrupt. They had assets, they had huge copays, or they had certain treatments that were not fully covered by their insurance. And my patients have had that. And I've had my patients, you know, trying to get their insurance companies to pay for treatments that are not exotic, that are not experimental, that are very mainstream. And sometimes it can be very difficult. And the other thing that I was surprised at, Coy, when I went to the movie, is that Michael Moore's movie does not address the huge problem of the uninsured, which is a major issue to our country and to our and to the Commonwealth, of the 50 million folks in this country and probably perhaps 500,000 people in Virginia that are not covered by insurance. He focuses on those that have insurance, that you'd think that, you know, they were employed, they had coverage, they had, you know, legitimate, you know, insurance policies, and yet they were dealing fairly with the system and paying their premiums and their copays, et cetera, and yet there was not adequate coverage. And I think that's one of the frustrating things that I see as a practitioner, as well as, you know, as a citizen, that I see there are just big gaps in our healthcare system. And I think that's one of the more powerful aspects to Sicko, is that it follows people who have insurance, not the folks that don't have insurance.
Interesting. We're talking with cardiologist Dan Carey of Lynchburg about the new movie Sicko by Michael Moore. And you can read Dan's review of the film online at theberg.com. Dan, you wrote in your review, we pay significantly more in this country for health care than in any other industrialized country. And by measures such as life expectancy and infant mortality, we simply don't get our money's worth. Americans are, you know, we're brought up to believe that the healthcare here is the very best. And along comes this movie which says, well, it could be so much better if we, you know, had, is the answer socialized healthcare? I guess my first question is it the best? And what do you mean when you say we're not getting our money's worth? And the second question might be, you know, what do we do about it? What's broken and how can we fix it?
Those are some very challenging questions. I think that in terms of, you know, first of all, do we pay a lot more than other countries? There's no question that we pay more than other countries. In fact, if you look at kind of our peer countries of France, Germany, England, Spain, Canada, Australia, for example, we pay approximately twice as much for our health care as they do. Now, do we get more for our money? I would say this. I think if I had, you know, again, if it wasn't the economics alone, if it wasn't the economics, but if it was just simply the quality of care available, if I had cancer, if I needed a bypass surgery, if I needed an angioplasty, if I needed hip surgery, there's no place in the world that I'd rather be. I think we have great training, we have great institutions, we have great research, both basic science research and great clinical research, and we can do those things very well. What we don't do that well is set limits on the care that people get, any reasonable limits, because often the sky is the limit, And also, we don't spread that care around that evenly. And I think that's a real challenge. Now, I actually heard on your program, Coy, Tim Garson, the new provost at the University of Virginia, and
right,
he has
right.
a new book, and you talk with him at length, and I heard that program, downloaded it on my iPod, and I've also got his book, Healthcare Half-Truths, and his formulation, I think, is very, very good, which he distinguishes between medical care and health care. Now, medical care are the specific things that doctors and nurses and other clinicians help patients do. But health care is a bigger issue. It has to do with nutrition levels. It has to do with drug abuse. It has to do with violence and gang activity that affects mortality. So there's a lot of immigration issues, multiculturalism, all of the challenges that our country faces that are not as big an issue in a country like Germany or Norway or Finland or Canada, for example. All of those issues are there, but not quite to the degree that they are in this country. So I think one of the first things you need to determine is look at the specific medical inputs, but there's no question that fantastic medical care is available to many in this country. But because of lack of health insurance, there is lack of access to that medical care. And the second issue is there's a lot of inputs. There's cultural behavior, obesity issues, things that the medical system itself really doesn't address. Those are cultural issues, and there's educational inputs, there's lifestyle choices, there's cultural diversity, et cetera, that make those health determinants of health much more challenging. So I think the first thing is that while great health care is available in this country, there's a lot that goes into health issues than medical care. So that's one thing in how you measure. And I think I mentioned in the review there are some problems with aggregate health statistics. So that's an issue. But still, even beyond that, I don't think we get our money's worth. Somehow, the world and the U.S. companies expect all the research and development that goes into the cost of a new drug or a new device like a drug-coated stent or a new defibrillator or a new revolutionary artificial joint that lets seniors be much more active and last longer than the last generation of such a device. The research and development costs for those devices are paid for in the cost that Americans pay. And that's not a law. That's just a habit that's been there for the last 50 years, that research and development for new drugs and devices and treatments are amortized over the U.S. market, but not over the world market. And that is patently unfair, and that contributes greatly to the cost that we pay for drugs in this country versus the drugs available, same drug, in Mexico, Canada, Europe. So that's one of the issues that, you know, how do you change that? I don't know exactly how to change that, but making that known to everybody will help build pressure to the pharmaceutical companies that the rest of the world is getting a free ride on the research and development costs that are paid for by big, often international drug companies, but they have a large presence in the U.S., and most of the costs of the research and development are paid by U.S. both U.S. government, because the government in this country is still a huge payer of health care with Medicaid, Medicare, government employees in the military and military retirees in the VA system. You know, almost 40% of health care is paid for by government payers, so there's a huge role for the government in just overseeing its own health care costs to be involved in this. It just seems patently unfair. So in terms of getting our money's worth, I think we're paying more for the same thing, because for some reason we get the research and development bill that the rest of the world doesn't get, and that needs to be changed.
We're talking with cardiologist Dan Carey of Lynchburg about the new movie Sicko and the related public health issues. Dan, I only got about a minute or two left, but one thing I really enjoyed in your review was you talked about the origins of the healthcare system that we have, which is largely employer-based. We get our healthcare largely through our employers, and you were talking about how this developed after World War II.
Well, actually, it was during World War II, Coy, and that's something that I don't think most people realize, and actually, Michael Moore didn't include it in his movie, but I think people need to understand that, you know, one thing that sets another thing that sets our healthcare system, medical care system, apart is that it's primarily employee-based, employer-based, and that when you change jobs, even though there's COBRA for 18 months that allows you to continue to pay for your medical insurance through your previous employer, you know, that runs out. It's not particularly portable. And that really has its origin in World War II, where there were price controls and there were wage controls. And given that many men and women were in the military, especially men, that there was a great shortage of labor in the factories that were, you know, producing, you know, Freedom's arsenal in the U.S. that was supplying Europe and the United States with its airplanes, its you know, guns and butter and steel. And one of the ways that employers, Boeing versus North American for building different airplanes, for example, attracted employees is with benefits. They had meals at work. They had free housing, for example. And one of the things that came up was, hey, how about health care? Up until then, you know, there weren't antibiotics. There weren't a lot of complex surgeries. There were no devices. There was no heart surgery. You know, folks could, for a relatively low amount of money, you could pay for all the available medical care technology because it just wasn't much there. Now, when there's huge technology, we can't afford to pay all the things that we want to do, but we burden our employer and employee with that, you know, that relationship is how we fund healthcare. And it was entirely a historical happenstance. And it makes no sense. We're the only country that does it this way. And I think we burden our most productive companies with huge healthcare costs that make them less competitive in the global marketplace. So I think that's going to be one of the drivers that change it.
Dan Carey of Lynchburg, cardiologist based in Lynchburg. You can read his review of Sicko, Michael Moore's new movie, online at the-berg.com. Dan, thank you so much, my friend. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.